The show is called Live and Local. It's your connection to local music and more. And today's show is a little bit different. Of course, we pride ourselves on bringing you lots of opportunities to go out and, or letting you know of lots of opportunities to go out and see and hear, especially musical events, but also theatrical events live. And today's program will be talking about various ways you can sort of do that in a way vicariously by going into area movie theaters. And you can see live performances from around the world, including, for example, the Metropolitan Opera in New York. You can see live in theaters currently of the Met in HD. And you can also go see the wonderful conductor of the Los Angeles Philharmonic, Gustavo Dudamel, in a documentary program which is being offered as a one-time only theatrical event. It's called Dudamel, Let the Children Play, and it's playing in our area in two theaters, the Savoy Theaters in Champaign and the Willow Knowles Theaters in Peoria, Thursday evening at 7 o'clock, one time only, and it's really quite an exciting film. I've seen some excerpts from it, and you'll be able to hear about it as we talk with the executive producer of that film, first up on today's show. And I'll also be talking with one of the folks involved in the company that brings you these concerts and other performance events, Dan Diamond with Fathom Events, based out of Colorado. And among the things they produce are the Met in HD. We'll be hearing about some of the upcoming ones you can see in theaters this summer, and also about some live Shakespeare from London's Globe Theatre. You can see four different plays this summer, also in theaters, in movie theaters, but it's coming live from the Globe in London. Pretty exciting, and we'll hear all about it on today's Live and Local. Stay tuned. My guest on this portion of Live and Local is Tony Fadell, who is the executive producer of a wonderful film that folks in our listening area have an opportunity to see one time only Thursday evening at 7 o'clock at two of our area theaters. And it features the wonderful, energetic young conductor Gustavo Dudamel, who came to fame with the Simon Bolivar Youth Orchestra in Venezuela, part of a system there that we'll certainly talk about. And he's now the music director of the Los Angeles Philharmonic Orchestra. And the film is called Dudamel, Let the Children Play. Tony Fadell is with us here on Live and Local. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Kevin. Thanks to you for your support.
Well, it's a pleasure, and I was really pleased to learn about this. I actually found out about it from an email blast from the League of American Orchestras, of which I'm a member, and so quickly arranged this conversation. And I understand you've known Gustavo Dudamel for quite a long time. What's your relationship with him?
Yeah, well, he's the godfather of my son and his wife as well. But also I want to say thank you to all our marketing partners, the American Live Orchestras, Dutch Gramophone, American Public Media, CNN. You know, they have been very supportive on this event on Thursday 23rd, and we're very happy because of that. So, and of course, thanks to you, Kevin, for your support on this event.
So how long have you known him, and how did your relationship start?
Like 10 years ago, mm-hmm. to actually the director of the film, who knew Gustavo just before me, Alberto Velo. He's a great director, and actually we started this film 3 years ago. Alberto Velo as a director, Eloisa Maturin, Gustavo's wife, who was just a wonderful producer of the film, Ananda Troconis, who is actually the wife of Alberto, the director. So it's really started as a family thing. But actually, we went all over more than 10 different countries to get kids from all over the world that are very inspired by music as an important part of their lives, which is the most important thing about this film.
Where did the inspiration for creating the film come from? Whose idea was that?
The idea was originally by Alberto Arvelo, who is the director of the film, and also by Gustavo, who also wanted to share his own experience with, you know, the rest of the world through different kids' testimonials from all over the world. You know, we're very happy because our main mission here is really to get the message across, and it's a message of hope and, you know, to really emphasize the importance of music and art education in our kids all over the world, because this is really an universal matter. It's not just the U.S., it's not Korea, it's not Edinburgh, it's not any of the countries portrayed in the film. It's just all over the place.
Well, and Gustavo Dudamel is a product of a really wonderful system, and that's literally what we know it as El Sistema, which is simply Spanish for the system.
Yeah.
Of music education, which at the time was unique, and I guess is still to some extent. But there are so many programs that are around the world that are starting to model themselves somewhat on this system. Can you talk about it a little bit?
Absolutely, absolutely. This is what they call the system, which is basically. You know, an educational way of inspiring good kids at a young, very young age, even at 3 years old, you know, to engage the music and instruments as difficult as a violin. And this started as an idea of a very great man, who is Maestro José Antonio Abreu, 35 years ago. This is very important. It started 35 years ago, and more than 500,000 kids have gone through this educational system. And I would say, you know, from since 2000, it started to be more international. And now it has been in almost 50 countries around the world. So basically, you know, when you have poor kids, like in many countries, in this case in Venezuela, you know, they are very inspired by music. So basically they change maybe the possibility of having an arm or something, you know, anything that's a bad influence, they change that for an instrument. A musical instrument. So it's really amazing once you are there and see how the kids are doing. It's really inspiring. So I think it happens in a different levels all over the world. More or less poverty, but at the end, it's a great way of having a new path, different than drugs or any violence or any other bad influence that we all have in our world. Thank you.
How does the system work in Venezuela? How does it operate? What's the process?
Well, they have different centers all over the country, and the most important part of this are the teachers. So the teachers start training other teachers, so you know, start multiplying the whole number of kids. So they go to school, and then after school, they go into the orchestras. So basically, they have a very busy afternoon playing music, and they feel, the most important thing, Kevin, is that they really feel part of the community, you know? They feel someone, because they are part of a team, which is the greatest part of an orchestra. When you play with an orchestra, you know, you feel part of something.
What efforts are being made in the United States that you know of to either duplicate or at least create some sort of system like this? I know that there are some, but I'm not sure.
Yes, well, there is an organization called El Sistema US, based in New England. And I don't know exactly all the experiences here in the U.S., but definitely the most important one that I know is YOLA in Los Angeles. Basically, Gustavo has been very supportive of that, and also the LA Phil with a wonderful Deborah Borda they have there. She has been fantastic and very supportive. And some experience in New York, another one in New England. You know, it's not an easy thing, but at the end, no matter where you are, I think any music or art educational experience is great for our kids, no matter from where it comes and who is handling that. I think the whole idea is really promoting the importance of art and music education in our kids.
And you mentioned YOLA, which is the Youth Orchestra of Los Angeles, which Gustavo Dudamel founded, helped to found, or was that already going on?
No, he helped to found it, absolutely. And it's running really well. They have a wonderful team, you know, which is what music makes. You know, music at the end, it's a very common bond among people all over the world. And actually, before our movie, the CNN people prepare a piece called Crescendo, Why Music is Life, where they interview some celebrities and they say, why music is life for you? And, you know, you find out that at the end, no matter if you play your instrument or not, but if you like music and you are connected with music, you really feel connected with the real essence of human beings. And that's fantastic.
Well, and here is a clip, I believe, from the film with Deborah Borda, you mentioned, who is the executive director of the Los Angeles Philharmonic, where Gustavo Dudamel is still the pretty new music director. He's all of 30 years old, talking about the Youth Orchestra of Los Angeles, and there's some of the young people involved here as well. We're talking now with Tony Fadell, who is executive producer of the film, Dudamel, Let the Children Play, which is airing in theaters across the country, limited number of theaters, and it's a one-time-only event in our area at the Savoy 16 in Champaign and at Willow Knowles 14 in Peoria, Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Here's a clip.
The very first notes that Gustavo conducted as the 11th music director weren't with the Los Angeles Philharmonic. He conducted the YOLA Orchestra, which is our version of El Sistema.
My mom just surprised me by telling me that she signed me up for this music class, and at first I didn't like it, but now I love it. Gustavo really likes to compare his music to some of the things that kids could understand. So when he said that I need to lift out of my activity drum, he said pretend that I am bouncing a basketball. And that really made me feel like I could do this.
Programs like YOLA is important because the children not only learn music, but it builds their self-esteem because it gives them a different outlet, it gives them a different way of viewing life.
Being at the orchestra isn't like school, because at school, it's the same routine over and over again. Come in, sit down, do your work, listen to a teacher and stuff like that. But at the orchestra, every week we have new music coming in, so that gives a chance to know that there will always be something new, and then I'll be ready for that.
Seeing my son up there that night fills me with so much joy. I was crying. And I was going, that's my son. That's my son. So to him, to have that experience, to be able to see that there's more to life than what he's doing right now, but this could open up many worlds for him. So we were just, we could have been prouder. We was just overwhelmed.
Even before he arrived, Gustavo accomplished so much. He inspired Yola, and the evidence is right here before us.
We heard Executive Director of the Los Angeles Philharmonic, Deborah Borda, and some of the young people involved in the Youth Orchestra of Los Angeles, YOLA. This clip comes from the film Dudamel, Let the Children Play, featuring Gustavo Dudamel, who's the music director of the Los Angeles Philharmonic. And on the phone with me here on Live and Local is Tony Fadell, executive producer of the film. Why don't you give us sort of a synopsis of what happens in this movie?
Well, basically, it's Gustavo's story as the leitmotiv of the movie, and testimonials from kids that are in this system, educational system all over the world. So you have a kid from Korea, one kid from Edinburgh, in Los Angeles, in Bolivia. So basically, it's saying, you know, no matter where you are, no matter how, what are the differences, you know, we all have a common ground that we love music, and we're getting involved in music at a very early stage. So I think that's really the most important part of the film.
And I assume that there are plenty of live performances happening from the various venues?
Yeah, the short segments from the Hollywood Bowl with Gustavo, some other segments in Berlin, some others in Venezuela and Gothenburg. Yeah, a lot of musical segments. So it's really... It's a fast pace, very human touch, and I think this is a family event. I think this is about going with your friends or with your family to see this movie, and I'm sure the people will get touched.
I've never seen Gustavo Dudamel conduct in person. I've certainly seen many of the YouTube clips that are all over the place that people can see with the especially the Simón Bolívar Youth Orchestra. What do you think is so inspirational about Gustavo Dudamel that has allowed him to be successful with young people and also, of course, now successful in the quote-unquote adult world of orchestras?
Well, I want to start saying that I'm not very objective on that because, you know, I think he's great. He's very charismatic. He's very funny. And more than anything else, he's music. I mean, since he was four, he loves music all his life, and he's still a kid. I think that's the most important thing, you know. And as he said recently in an interview, he said, you know, it's not about Dudamel. This movie is not about Dudamel. It's about the kids. So he's just another kid, and whatever he can do in order to multiply his wonderful experience all over, that's his main mission, and I think that's what is great about him. He's humble. He's down to earth. He got a great supportive family, especially her mom, his dad, and his grandma are very, very important. His wonderful wife, very supportive. And now the most important thing is his little Martin, his new son, newborn son, who is, I think, is just three months old.
What's the length of the film, just so people know what they're setting aside?
It's 86 minutes length. And before that, at 7, we'll start this 19-20-minute piece called Crescendo, Why Music is Life, with celebrities. I think that's something people would love. So at the end will be a more, 106 minutes.
And some of the celebrities I'm looking listed here are Quincy Jones, Andy Garcia, Ruben Blades, people like that?
Well, those are really in the movie.
In the actual movie, okay.
you know, Quincy Jones was, you know, on the Hollywood Bowl event. Andy Garcia also was there. They're all in the movie, Placido Domingo. You got a lot of celebrities in the movie, but you got some other celebrities in this short segments that CNN did for as a preview for the movie. Will you have like Emilio Estefan and Daisy Fuentes? Some, most of them, you know, are people in the music industry. Most of them.
And as the information about the film says, it's not only a glimpse on Dudamel and about getting children involved in music, particularly in difficult situations, poverty-stricken areas, but also you get a kind of a glimpse on what conducting can be about, which for many people is fascinating and sometimes mysterious. There's a number of well-known conductors involved in the film as well, Sir Simon Rattle, Daniel Barenboim, and others. It's filmed in seven different countries. It's called Dudamel, Let the Children Play, chance to glimpse the world of orchestras, conducting, and the importance of art as a hopeful path to face the educational crisis worldwide, and it certainly is worldwide. It features Gustavo Dudamel, music director of the Los Angeles Philharmonic and also principal conductor of the Gothenburg Symphony in Gothenburg, Sweden, and he is still artistic director of the Simon Bolivar Youth Orchestra in Venezuela. My guest on this portion of Live and Local has been Tony Fadell, who's executive producer of the film. It's a one-night opportunity to see this nationwide and in our listening area. It's happening Thursday at 7 o'clock at Savoy 16 Theaters in Champaign and at Willow Knowles 14 Theaters in Peoria this Thursday only. And you can get more information and tickets at the websites of those particular theaters and also at the website for the film. And, Tony, I'm guessing you probably know that because I haven't written it down here.
Oh, you can go to fathomevents.com or dudamel.net.
Dudamel.net, fathomevents.com. And we'll be talking with Dan Diamond of Fathom Events about some of the other one-time-only or series events in the performing arts that they have in our area as well. Tony, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Kevin. I really appreciate your time and your support.
You heard the Simon Bolivar Youth Orchestra led by Gustavo Dudamel. That was you can find video performances of that on YouTube. Extremely exciting. That certainly made the rounds. And don't know if that performance will show up in the film, Dudamel, Let the Children Play, or not, but you can certainly go find out on Thursday night. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Stay tuned next for my conversation with Dan Diamond of Fathom Events about the Metropolitan Opera Live in HD Summer Series and also a new series from the Globe Theater in London. It's the Shakespeare's Globe London Cinema Series with four of Shakespeare's plays happening this summer, which you can also go out and see in area movie theaters. Tonight at 7 o'clock on the evening concert, it's the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. Mitsuko Uchida guest conducts and plays piano in an all-Mozart program that includes the Piano Concerto No. 11 and the famous Piano Concerto No. 21, also on the program, a Mozart Divertimento. Pianist and conductor Mitsuko Uchida in an all-Mozart program with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra tonight at 7 on the evening concert. Support for today's broadcast on FM 90.9 comes from Community Blood Services of Illinois. Blood donations help save the lives of the injured and critically ill. There are no substitutes for donated blood, and donation takes only 45 minutes. Blood donation, it's about life. More information is available at 367-2202. We just heard the overture to an opera by Gaetano Donizetti called Don Pasquale, which is something of a comedy, and it's one of the operas that the Metropolitan Opera has presenting live in high definition at area movie theaters as part of an ongoing series now for, I guess it's about 3 years or so. And that opera is going to show on Wednesday, tomorrow night, in an encore presentation at two area theaters, the same two theaters that are presenting the Dudamel film we were just speaking about here on Live and Local, the Savoy 16 in Champaign and the Willow Knowles 14 in Peoria. And on the phone with me now is Vice President of NCM Fathom. Fathom Events is the organization that is presenting both of these films and also some other performing arts and lots of other kinds of one-time theatrical events and also various series. Dan Diamond is with Fathom. Thanks for joining us on the Live and Local.
Kevin, it's great to be on, and really appreciate all the interest and support we've seen from the community there in terms of the arts programs we've brought into movie theaters.
Well, I didn't even realize, it tells you how much that people sometimes don't pay attention to credits and so on, that Fathom were the folks presenting the Met in HD, because I've seen quite a number of those, and they're absolutely fabulous productions. How long has that been going on, and how did Fathom get involved? How did that whole thing start up?
Well, this is actually the fifth season of the Met. We'll be entering the sixth, starting in the fall of hard to believe, fall of 2011 into 2012, but the Met really began as a an idea that was born out of some events that we had done years ago in the early days, if you will, of the creation of what is now the largest digitally interconnected network in North America for movie theaters. And we had done some different types of programs. We'd sampled some, you know, Broadway. We'd sampled some rock and roll and some anniversary films and some different types of programs. And what we had found was that profoundly in each community that program was presented in, the appetite for that genre of programming really was elevated, and people that attended and fans that attended these events in movie theaters got excited about the type of program, whether it was Japanese anime or whether it was marathon running or, you know, rock and roll or, you know, whatever it might have been. And some of the individuals that we had worked with at different stages leading up to this had then gone over to the Metropolitan Opera. And I will tell you that Peter Gelb, who heads the Met, is a real visionary as well, just an amazing individual. And so everybody got together and they said, gee, what do you think about the idea of presenting the Metropolitan Opera in movie theaters, much like you've done some other events? And we just felt that it was a very unique opportunity to bring to communities across the country, and really the rest has been history. I mean, when you think back to a couple of years ago and the Met winning the Peabody Award for technological innovation, it really says a lot about their forward thinking, but also the magnitude and importance of the arts as part of the fabric of our culture and the appetite for fans to participate in the arts, which, you know, have been under such fire, especially in these tough economic times.
Well, that's certainly for sure. So Fathom essentially presented this to the Met as a concept, and they said, oh, it sounds great.
Yeah, well, in essence, it was really we both sort of arrived at the conclusion together through different prior event programs that we had done, where the some of the individuals that went over to the Met were at other organizations we'd worked with. It was just sort of a natural outgrowth of that. So I think it was really one that was one of continued partnerships from a number of different fronts that came together at the Met, and have really proven to be, you know, the, if you will, the foundation upon which alternative programming in movie theaters is really being built across the world right now, is based on the success of the arts with the Met in, you know, Fathom participating movie theaters across the United States.
Is Fathom the presenting organization, or are you also involved in the production of the Met programs?
We are the presenting organization. We work very closely with the Met on the production, but the Met does the production. What we did Kevin, early on was we spent an awful lot of time making certain that the translation to the big screens in movie theaters was such that it did not take away, in terms of technical requirements, from any of the live at the Met experience for the fans that and patrons who were attending the Met, but also could convey unique insights and angles and opportunities for fans in movie theaters to become much more versed in not just the performance itself, but also what goes on in and around the performance. You know, the sets. And so we've gone backstage to look at and talk to the set designers about how these sets were created and what they really mean. We've heard from, you know, Anna Netrebko and, you know, Placido Domingo and Renee Fleming and many others about the importance of why they sang an aria a certain way, or the specific elements of each part of an opera that they were involved in, and why the costumes were designed as they were. And I think, you know, for audiences attending movie theaters, it's a rare opportunity to get a glimpse not only of the performance as though you were there in Lincoln Center, but also to really get the ultimate experience in, you know, behind the curtain, if you will, in understanding really the foundations of opera from its inception all the way through to how it's being translated today.
Well, and one of the amazing things about all of that is that you can virtually be in the Met live for $20, which may be expensive for a movie, but for an opera, that's dirt cheap.
Well, and I think, you know, that's really something, you hit on something really important there, was the fact that we began the network on a much smaller scale, and as technology has grown, and we all know in this day and age of, you know, just technological explosion, that it's there's some very good things about it, and then there's some things about it that also I think have created some challenges. And the good things are that, you know, it's become very cost effective to deliver programming, you know, to movie theaters and keep the price very affordable. You know, and that's something that I think is essential from our standpoint in making sure that fans and communities have the opportunity to participate in, you know, something as magnificent as the Met or the Los Angeles Philharmonic or, you know, the Globe series that we've got coming up without having to pay exorbitant prices. You know, the flip side is there are very few places left based on the technology that's out now, you know, where everyone's walking around with a personal entertainment device, which is great, whether it's their cell phone or, you know, some other type of device, so that they can choose whatever they want to listen to, which is terrific, or watch. But there are very few places to gather together as a community. And I think the great thing about these experiences in theaters is the sense of community that you feel when you go to a symphony in the park or attend your local symphony performance or your local opera performing arts organization or a local play or a touring play. You know, that's a community of fans that are like-minded, that are sharing an experience. And the same thing happens in a movie theater. You know, fans come to the theaters and they, you know, are immersed in the experience, and they stand up during the Met performances and they applaud. And, you know, they get very much involved as though they were there. And it's not a replacement for being there. The Met, in essence, has seen a growth, a strong growth in their live attendance and season ticket and patron base as well. And local performing arts organizations all over the country, Kevin, have seen a real outgrowth of interest in the arts from their participation in helping support the Met performances and the LA Phil performances and the like in movie theaters. It's really a sort of a hand-in-hand opportunity to generate and stimulate the arts and communities. And that's something that we're incredibly excited about.
Well, I'm kind of glad you mentioned the applause, because I was just thinking as you were talking that it used to be commonplace for people to get up and applaud at the end of a film, not all that long ago, I guess, and people still do it. People definitely do it at these Met broadcasts, which
absolutely.
Is which adds
well,
to the excitement.
I mean, it's gone through every kind of. When we did recently did Memphis, fans were, you know, applauding and, you know, bravo, and, you know, the same thing at the Met, or even, you know, performances in other genres of music that we've seen where fans are standing up. And I'll never forget a Keith Urban concert that we did into movie theaters where I looked up into the crowd and it was a, you know, a romantic ballad, and you know, fans were holding up, you know, their cell phones, if you will, as lights and waving their arms back and forth. And I think it speaks to the power of community and also of the immersive experience that you get in a movie theater. Just like a great movie, you get lost in it. And that's, you know, I think in the area of the arts, it's really something that's so important. As we had talked about earlier, the, you know, the challenges that the arts face today in public schools. And, you know, I grew up, you know, it was part of our education was to play in the symphony and start with the violin, and I played trumpet, and I went on and played different instruments. But I've watched my kids today having to deal with the fact that school programs are being cut back, and, you know, it's costing parents more and more. And here's an opportunity to really present these great programs, and we see a lot of families bringing their kids and kids getting interested in the classics, which I think is something that, you know, on a personal level and as an organization, we think is something that's really important to continue to perpetuate.
You mentioned earlier the soprano Anna Trebko as being one of the folks who takes you backstage during the Met broadcast, and she happens to be one of the stars of Tuesday's encore presentation of Donizetti's Don Pasquale. Here she is, not from that opera. I couldn't find a recording of her from that opera, but in one of the most famous of all soprano opera arias. This is from Puccini's Gianni Schicchi, O Mio Babbino Caro, which means more or less, Oh My Beloved Daddy. And Anna Trebko here with the Mahler Chamber Orchestra led by Claudio Abbado, Don Pasquale being presented in our area at the Savoy 16 Theaters and Willow in Champaign and Willow Knowles 14 Theaters in Peoria, courtesy of Fathom Events. And we're talking with Fathom's Dan Diamond here on Live and Local. Anna Trebko featured in O Mio Babbino Caro by Puccini from Gianni Schicchi, the comic opera, and she's here with the Mahler Chamber Orchestra. And she's going to be with the Metropolitan Opera Orchestra, led by James Levine, tomorrow night at area movie theaters, specifically the Savoy Theaters in Champaign and the Willow Knowles Theaters in Peoria, in Don Pasquale by Donizetti. That's an encore from the Metropolitan Opera, presented in HD by Fathom Events, or specifically NCM Fathom, NCM being National Cinemedia. And Fathom's Dan Diamond is with me on the phone here. Anna Trebko, quite a voice.
Oh, she's absolutely incredible and is considered by many. Kevin, as you know, I think one of the, you know, the fastest rising stars in opera, modern opera today. And, you know, what's fascinated me about her story is it really is one that, you know, when I learned of it, I was just mesmerized by the fact that here's a woman that was, as a little girl, you know, sweeping the floors in opera houses in Russia and working to try to, you know, emulate what she was seeing on the stage and would sing along and was heard by one of the curators of one of the opera houses there and was taken under this individual's wing and really then began to perform in Russia and now has come over to the United States and, you know, is really one of the, you know, the biggest stars in modern opera today. And I think, you know, it's really a story of you know, her story is one of not only incredible talent, but of perseverance and following a dream. And I think as you know, we all want to be behind someone who's got the tenacity to go through the experiences she did and never give up on her goal of, you know, reaching the stages, the top stages in the world and performing. And, you know, it's such a wonderful thing to see that occurring. And it also feels an awful lot like, you know, what Gustavo Dudamel's been able to do with, you know, education programs in Venezuela and now coming to the United States with the Los Angeles Philharmonic. Just, you know, amazing perseverance, and she's someone everyone should see.
And, of course, you had the opportunity to do that and see her very up close on Wednesday. The other Met operas happening this summer. Verdi's Simone Boccanegra next Wednesday, the 29th. Donizetti's The Daughter of the Regiment on July 13th. Puccini's Tosca, July 20th. And then Verdi's Don Carlo, July 27th. I saw Don Carlo. It's an incredible production. And I wanted to just play a little bit from one of the stars of Simone Boccanegra next week is the bass, James Morris. And he's heard here from the prologue of that opera with the Munich Radio Orchestra led by Ralph Weikert here on Live and Local. That was bass James Morris, a little bit from the prologue to Verdi's opera Simone Boccanegra, billed as sort of a political thriller. And you can see it live in high definition from the Metropolitan Opera at area movie theaters next Wednesday, June the 29th. It's brought to you by Fathom Events. And you can see it at the Savoy Theaters in Champaign and the Willow Knowles Theaters in Peoria. These are just some of many, many events that Dan Diamond has been telling us about, including, is this a new series, Shakespeare's Globe London Cinema Series?
Yes, it is. One of the exciting things that we're seeing is as the arts continue to, perform well in movie theaters and fans' acceptance of this unique offering in theaters grows, we're continuing to expand our programming lineup to bring different segments of the arts to communities as well, because we do know there are fans of symphony, we know there are fans of opera, there are fans of Shakespeare, there are fans of more traditional Broadway. So this is a great opportunity with the Globe in a new series that is coming to for the first time to the United States, with from the internationally renowned Globe in London, which really was Shakespeare's theatrical home, if you will. And these are four Shakespeare performances, which are traditionally done in the summertime anyway, that maybe not as well seen as, say, Midsummer Night's Dream or the traditional Shakespeare works that are performed by local performing organizations across the country. So Merry Wives of Windsor on June 27th is just a wonderful performance, and in the round it's beautifully shot. And then we've got Henry the Fourth, both parts coming in August, and then Henry the Eighth in September. And again, just the opportunity, I think, Kevin, for fans of Shakespeare to bring their families, and for local schools to get involved and go see some of the finest performance in the world of some of the greatest artworks ever created.
Well, you mentioned earlier some of the other sort of one-off events. The Dudamel Let the Children Play is an example of a one-time event. And what are some of the bigger ones that have happened that we've missed so far or that people may have seen?
I have to tell you, it's just we are so fortunate to have had the opportunities to connect content with fans across the country and to see the reception that it's received. If you look across the spectrum of what we offer on Fathom Events and the lineup for anybody, Kevin, if they want to go see whether it's arts or if traditional rock and roll or unique types of events in different genres, fathomevents.com is really, we have our full lineup, and you can also go back and look at all of the events that we've done. We did a fascinating program back in February that's one that's very dear to me as well, amongst the literally hundreds we've done, which was with the United States Figure Skating Association and the United States Olympic Committee in the remembrance and celebration of one of the most difficult times in United States sports history, United States Olympic history, when in 19 1961, the United States Olympic figure skating team tragically crashed on their way to the national championships in Europe. And what had occurred was, out of that tragedy was a rise from the ashes of the United States figure skating program, with organizations and, you know, coaches from other countries in Russia. This was a time during the Cold War that was very, very difficult. And, you know, coaches defected to the United States and have now, you know, some of the great coaches who now coach the U.S. team. This gave birth to the skaters, the first of which was Peggy Fleming, and then Dorothy Hamill and Brian Boitano and a number of others. So we actually had a live event from Times Square, hosted by Matt Lauer, where for the first time all living 13 United States gold medal winners from United States figure skating were on the same stage, and they were answering questions from the audience, and then were very integrated into a program that chronicled the lives of the team that had gone before them, and connected to how that team and that success and what they'd learned from that team had passed through to today. And it was a program called Rise that generated an enormous amount of opportunity and donation for the Memorial Fund for the United States Figure Skating Committee, but also really treated fans. Evan Lysacek did a special one-time-only skate with a number of children from the U.S. Nationals held this past year in Greensboro. And it was just one of those moments in time that you can't capture again. And so those are the kinds of events that we try to do. They're very unique. We just did Memphis recently, up until a couple of weeks ago, the current Tony winner for Best Musical. It was the first time ever that a Broadway show that was still on Broadway was performed in movie theaters. And, you know, was again a huge success and something that fans across the country just you know, came out in big numbers for, and were very excited to see Broadway coming to their local theater. And you know, again, the good news about all of this is that you know, it stimulates interest in you know, going to New York and seeing Broadway shows. And we've got a lot more coming that way in terms of additional programs. And as soon as they're announced, they'll be on fathomevents.com. So that's just an example. We've done hundreds of programs. I can give you so many. But I think the Rise one encapsulates really the essence of how these events really work to galvanize communities and theaters.
Well, and as you said, you can find about all these events on your website, fathomevents.com. But these are in limited release. Not all movie theaters are showing these things. So you do want to check the website and enter your zip code and find out what's showing in your area. Two that are not arts related at all, but, well, one of them certainly is. They're quite dear to my heart that I couldn't find in our area are the extended releases of The Lord of the Rings and the upcoming finals of the Wimbledon tennis tournament. So,
right.
Love
and
to see
one
those
of the things
here.
That's going on, and the fans need to check the website. Theaters are added all the time. Depending on certain film schedules, especially during the summer, there can be some, and the size of the theaters, Kevin, there can be a scheduling conflict that may preclude a particular event from being shown on one evening in one theater, for example, based on the number of movies that are out at that time. So, you know, but by and large, you know, the majority of our events, you know, are presented to the theaters that you mentioned, but there are some exceptions during the summer when it's just the busiest time of the year for the film season.
Sure. Well, Dan, it's great to talk to you, and these are really wonderful. I mean, my introduction to Fathom was through the Met series, and I'm looking forward to going to see some of the Shakespeare's Globe London Cinema series. The first one of those is next Monday, June 27th, The Merry Wives of Windsor.
Yes.
And then, as you mentioned, the two parts of Henry IV and in August, and then Henry VIII in September. And, of course, tomorrow night it's Don Pasquale from the Met, and Thursday night, Dudamel, Let the Children Play. Next Wednesday, Simone Boccanegra, also from the Met, and we'll look forward to all those. Peoria theaters showing those at Willow Knowles 14 theaters, and then Champaign theaters also at Savoy 16. Dan, thanks very much for joining us on Live and Local.
Thank you so much for having us on, and we look forward to seeing fans in the community there in movie theaters soon.
And although you won't hear this music in connection with the Globe's performance of Shakespeare's The Merry Wives of Windsor, this music was nonetheless intended for it. It's the overture to that play, or rather to the opera version of that play by Otto Nicolai, here on Live and Local.